This is Digital Story Podcast number 637, May 29th, 2018. Today's theme is The Future of Lightroom. I'm Derek Story. After the fall of Aputure, Lightroom stood tall as the best all-around digital asset manager for serious enthusiasts and many pros as well. But a number of things have changed since then, some initiated by Adobe and others by external forces. And suddenly, Lightroom's future is a bit more cloudy than it was a couple years ago. And that's the top story in today's TDS podcast. It's probably a good idea, or really a bad one, to discuss the future of Lightroom as I board a plane for Orlando to attend Photoshop World. But nonetheless, here we are. Photoshop World is not the only reason why I have been thinking about the future of Lightroom. Also, some of the things that have been changing in the ecosystem, in our photography ecosystem, has had me thinking about it as well. And I think we've come to a point now where we can really talk about this subject and, you know, see where we might be going. Now, of course, Lightroom is the de facto standard for serious enthusiasts and many pros alike. It is a solid application and it does many, many things quite well. However, as I mentioned at the top of the show, since the fall of Aputure a few years ago, Aputure was not number one when it went down. Lightroom was number one. But what happened was that number two was, maybe it wasn't in terms of numbers threatening Lightroom, but in terms of the possibility of pushing Lightroom to continue to evolve and to be aware of what is going on around it, Aputure was a strong force that way. And when Aputure went away, Lightroom was just sort of standing there saying, well, essentially, we can do what we want right now. And to some degree, they have, right? And to some degree, Adobe has done that. However, as I've been thinking about this and all the things that are going on right now and how these things may affect Lightroom, I came up with what I consider five forces to think about as we look toward Lightroom's future. And I'm going to go over those right now. The first thing, the end of the perpetual license. So in October 2017, Adobe announced the end of the perpetual license for newer versions of Lightroom. So if you want Lightroom in the future, if you wanted to stay current, you needed to have a Creative Cloud subscription. Now, they had said back when Creative Cloud came into being that Lightroom would have a perpetual license indefinitely. But, you know, that didn't mean forever, at least according to Adobe. However, a lot of photographers did view it that way. And many, many photographers, and I hear about it all the time when I'm out speaking, many photographers feel like, well, hey, you broke a promise. Technically, Adobe did not break a promise when they said that. However, it felt that way to many customers. And at the end of the day, how customers feel is the real reality. So a lot of photographers do not want to be tied in to a subscription for their software. Now, there's good reason why for Lightroom that some folks feel this way, because it isn't just any piece of software. It is the software that houses all of your images. And if you end that subscription, or if you decide that you don't want to pay that money anymore, then what happens to your images? Adobe has a game plan that they have, you know, outlined, you know, this is what you'll be able to do, so on and so forth. But these same photographers felt like they had a game plan before and that changed. So there's a little bit of doubt, a little bit of uneasiness when it comes to housing our photographs, which arguably are some of the most important things that we have on our computer, as part of a subscription program. So the end of the perpetual license definitely is a factor in the future of Lightroom, because I think a lot of photographers at that point started looking for an alternative. Point number two, locked in workflow. And what I mean by this is that as an application ages, and people get used to using it, and they want to use it the same way, then that application becomes locked in. A good case in point was a few years ago, the designers at Adobe decided they wanted to change the import dialog. Now, if you're a Lightroom user, and if you were a Lightroom user at this time, you remember this fiasco. And what happened was, when Adobe redesigned the import dialog, first of all, they didn't do a very good job of communicating what was going to happen. And then second of all, a lot of people just flat out did not like it. They did not think it was an improvement. And in fact, they felt like that Adobe had changed a key part of their workflow without discussing it with them. And so there was a big brouhaha around this. And eventually, we went back to the old way of importing images. Now, the reason why I bring this up, there were a number of things that went wrong in this scenario. And part of it, indeed, was communication. Part of it, indeed, may have been design. But also, it illustrated another point. And we see the same thing with Photoshop that's been around even longer than Lightroom, in that when your customers are used to working a certain way, have a certain workflow, they do not want that workflow to change. They do not want those parts of the application to change. And that includes, you know, keystroke shortcuts and all that kind of stuff. So what that means to a software company that's trying to evolve and deal with a changing environment around it is that, okay, here we are. We're kind of stuck with this way of design, this way of operation. How do we meet the needs of a growing audience that's changing without losing our existing customers? And that is tough. And the longer that you've been around, the tougher that issue is. And Lightroom has been around long enough to where this locked-in workflow, I think, is a real issue for them as they look to the future. Now, we see what other examples are. We saw what Apple went through with Final Cut when it went from Final Cut 7 to Final Cut 10, and they felt like they totally need to redesign that application, and it was a mess, and it was horrible, and they lost a lot of users. They lost a lot of users, so much so that also when it came to Aperture and iPhoto, instead of just trying to redesign those and evolve those applications, Apple, in that case, chose to scrap them and start all over again with Photos, which had its own perils. And, you know, they're still dealing with that situation as well. So we see that this locked-in workflow is something that is formidable and is something that is very difficult for established software to deal with. And Lightroom definitely is going to have to deal with this, will continue to have to deal with this as they try to move forward. Number three, at the same time, new competitors are coming into the marketplace, and this is part of what makes locked-in workflow such a challenge. So this year, for example, later on, probably in the fall, we're going to see a digital asset manager for Luminar. Skylum is going to release that. We know they're working on it. We know they're going to release it this year. And this is a highly anticipated update because a lot of people really like editing their images with Luminar. And they're thinking, well, if I can have a digital asset manager that's as good as their editor, then maybe I can move on from whatever I'm using right now. And for a lot of those people, what they're using right now is Lightroom. There are a lot of people still using Aperture that are just barely hanging on, that are just waiting for an alternative that they like. They will probably pick up those folks as well. So now this all depends, of course, on how good the digital asset manager is. There's a lot riding on this, because if this DAM is good from Skylum, then they stand to pick up a lot of users who then will be looking to Luminar as a total solution. And we have new competitors all over the place. Capture One Pro, although not new, has really picked up their game over the last few years and now are a solid competitor to Lightroom for many professionals. Not so much for the enthusiasts, mainly because, well, there's a number of reasons because. The cost of it is one of the reasons. Also, there's no cloud connectivity. So there's a few things going on in that scenario. However, for top-end pros who really like, you know, the best raw processing and great color, Capture One Pro has really made a move. On One has been very busy on their end. And then other applications such as Affinity has done a very good job of, you know, creating tempting alternatives to the standard, which we're referring to in this podcast anyway, as a Lightroom. So new competitors are all over the place, and especially as these competitors begin to match the core features that are in Lightroom, but they do so in a new and redesigned way, and a way that's maybe more exciting than what we see with Lightroom, that is going to be an issue. A fourth challenge here, or a fourth consideration, is smartphone popularity. So consumer photographers do, to some degree, depending on what kind of camera they're using, consider Lightroom as a possibility for their digital asset manager, especially if they're not in the Apple ecosystem and they really need something that has a mobile side to it, a cloud side to it. However, as more and more consumer photographers move over to smartphone photography, then I think the need for Lightroom goes down because they're handling basically the whole experience on their mobile device. They're not using their computer nearly as much, smartphone photographers aren't, because the smartphone is smart and it has really great applications on there for editing your images. And then chances are they have hooked up with some sort of cloud storage, so they have that end taken care of as well. So as smartphone popularity continues to increase, I think that is a factor in terms of potential customers for Adobe and Lightroom. Now, the consumer audience was never the prime audience, and we're talking about snapshooters, was never the prime target for Lightroom. However, you could pick up a good chunk there, and that could really help the bottom line. That particular sector, smartphone photographers, it's going to be very difficult, I think, to hang on to them as we move forward because, again, the smartphones are so good at what they do. The applications are quite solid. And why pay $10 a month or more to use Adobe apps when you can just handle it all right on your phone? And then finally, the fifth factor that I think is real also, and I hadn't really thought about this one, but people bring this up to me, and I call it software fatigue. And what's going on with software fatigue is that sometimes you just want to change. You do. You know, you've been using the same thing for quite a while now, and you're tired of looking at it. You see these kind of tempting new things out there. It's like a new car or, you know, a new camera or a new lens or any of that kind of stuff that we sometimes fall prey to. And I think software fatigue is an issue as Lightroom has been around for a while and a lot of photographers have been using the same application for quite a while. Maybe they just want something new. So those are five factors that I think are definitely going to have some impact on the future of Lightroom. Now, Adobe has many things going for it with this application. For one thing, it's very difficult to switch from one digital asset manager to another. So I think a lot of photographers will stick with Lightroom just because it is the path of least resistance. I don't want to go through this whole thing of changing my digital asset manager. I've got thousands and thousands of photos in Lightroom, and I just want to keep them there and not have to worry about this. So I think that is definitely going to help Adobe and the Lightroom product. Plus, Adobe has done a good job with its mobility apps. They've really created something that I think is usable and workable. And so that if you want to integrate your smartphone photography with the other types of work that you do, the more serious types of work, I think Adobe has a really good product that way, in that you have the desktop client, you have the client that works on mobile phones, and you know there's a lot of functionality built in there, and there's a lot of sharing. There's a lot of image sharing among those devices. So that work that Adobe has done with the mobile side of the ecosystem, I think is very good, and I think is going to help them moving forward. And finally, like I said at the top of the show, Lightroom is a good app. It really is. It's solid. It's time-tested. There's been a lot of thought that goes into it. It processes raw images well. The editing tools are quite good. It has decent sharing tools, and it has a decent digital asset manager. Not my cup of tea, particularly. Digital asset manager is one of my least favorite parts of Lightroom, but I respect that they have something that is quite workable, and that I think a lot of people, you know, appreciate what they've done there and they like it. So they have that going forward in that it is a good app, it's a solid piece of software, and I think they're going to continue to try to refine it the best they can, given these other factors that I've talked about. So Lightroom, like a lot of venerable things in our world, and let's say camera brands such as Canon and Nikon, even though the upstarts appear and they have really great stuff and it's innovative and it's appealing and they will do well, the upstarts will do well. However, the venerable brands will stick around because they have a certain momentum that's difficult to overcome by, you know, the upstarts. And for instance, Canon, even though it hasn't been a super innovative company in the camera world over the last few years, we see a lot more innovation in the world of, you know, Fuji and Olympus and Sony. However, Canon is doing very well because they have that momentum. They have that solid base and, you know, they try not to make mistakes. Right. So even though they might not be innovating as fast, they're trying not to screw up at the same time. And to some degree, that just helps them hold their position or at least not erode as fast as they may otherwise. And I think Lightroom has that going for it also. It has sort of the Canon Nikon thing in that it is around, it is the path of least resistance, it is solid. And even though it might not be the shiniest new app on the market, it gets the job done. So I think Lightroom is going to be okay, but I do think we're going into a period of transition. I think we're going to see a lot of people move over to Luminar. I think On One is going to continue to do well. I think Capture One Pro is going to continue to grow. And then we are going to see stuff that we can't even imagine right now, especially as AI becomes a bigger part of our software side, our image editing and organization. Then there's going to be stuff that we're not even, you know, visualizing right now, that if Adobe isn't in that space, that will continue to put pressure on them as well. If you're a Lightroom user, believe me, the application is going to be around. If you love Lightroom, I think you're going to continue to be happy. If you're looking for something different, though, I think near the end of this year and going into 2019, you're going to have some really tempting options. The Portfolio Project, Week 4, Your Portfolio Box Sites. So I've been getting some really great mail from users, from our listeners, who have been trying Portfolio Box and really having a good experience. And, you know, a lot of the mail has kind of centered around this one idea, which is I've wanted to do something like this for a while. Wanted to build a special site that was dedicated to a project or my best images, or something like that. I hadn't really found the right software, and it just never happened. So then you started talking about Portfolio Box. I thought, wow, this might be the thing. This might be the thing that I need. And then they try it, they get their project going, and then they're excited because not only have they found software that's really helping them meet this goal, they're getting to work on this project that they wanted to for a long time. And then the creative juices start flowing and off it goes. And that has been the feeling behind a lot of the email that I received. So I've been thinking about this all week and I was thinking, what if we could share this with each other? So here is my idea, is Your Portfolio Box site. That is my idea. And what I'd like you to do, if you sign up for a Portfolio Box Pro account, and of course, there's a tile on all the pages of the digital story where you can do that. And there's also links in the show notes that'll take you right over there. Make sure you go over to the digital story landing page there because you get a 20% discount and, you know, that really helps. But if you sign up for a pro site, here's what I'd like you to consider. Once you get that first page up or once you get that site going, And it shouldn't take you very long because I've talked about how easy it is to do this. Then send me a link. And you can use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer. I have a link in the show notes, or just go to thenimblephotographer.com, click the contact button, and I'll take you over to the form. And what I want is, you know, your name, of course, which is part of the contact form, the link to your Portfolio Box site that you started on, and then just a few words about what the subject is, what you're trying to do here, what this page is about. Now, what I want to do is start building a directory of Portfolio Box sites created by people in our virtual camera club here. And I'll be working on this over the whole month of June. So this is a June project for us. So over the month of June, as I get the sites from you, as I get the links, your name and what you're doing, I'm going to start building this directory. I'll start publishing this page. It'll be on the Digital Story. And then I'm going to keep that page going during the whole month of June. And what I mean by keeping going, I'm going to keep adding to it. I'm going to keep updating till the end of June. Now, that page will be there forever, right? That page and those links will be there forever, but the updating part of it is going to be during the month of June. And then also what I'm going to do during the month of June, for each of the four podcasts in June, I'm going to feature one of those Portfolio Box sites. So we'll talk about it. I'll get a little bit more information from the photographer. We'll share the link, obviously, and we'll feature the site. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun. We haven't been doing a ton of photo sharing lately. Obviously, we have the TDS member photo of the day that we do on Flickr. We have the Flickr group there. But, you know, that is an individual photo. We haven't done anything where we're sharing a page or where we're sharing a collection of images that the photographer has put together for a project or from a theme or something like that. So this is new for us, and I think this is very exciting. I'm really thrilled about this. All you have to do, sign up for a pro account, start working on your page. Once you get that first page published, use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer, send me the link, in just a few words about what you're trying to do there. I'm going to start building the directory. I will add to the directory over the whole month of June. And during each of the four podcasts in June, I will feature one of the sites from that directory here on the show. This is going to be a blast, and we're going to get to see the work of our fellow photographers. I'm truly excited about this. Now, in the show notes, I also have, you know, more information about Portfolio Box itself, why I'm so jazzed about it, and why I think this is such a good solution for so many of us. So you can take a look at that. And of course, click on the tile on every page of the Digital Story. Go over there, get started, and then make sure you share that page with me. And then starting next podcast, we're going to start sharing those sites with our whole audience here, and I can't wait to see what you guys show me. It's gonna be a blast. The Gluxley Cello 10 inch LED light panel. So this was a review that I published over the weekend, and I just wanted to talk about it because this light panel that I tested, this LED light panel that has 172 bulbs, and it is compact enough to where you could mount it on top of your camera, although I've been using it in a softbox and more in the studio, is really incredible light. And I haven't seen anything like it before. I haven't tested anything like it before. And just wanted to talk about it a little bit so that you might be familiar with it. And then if you want to go get more information, again, I have the link to the review in the show notes here. And the review is right there on the Digital Story. But essentially, instead of having just a bicolor light, and what I mean by that is a light that mixes, you know, warm tones and cool tones in varying degrees so that you can, you know, have these different color temperatures, which I've been using for some time now and which I just love. I just love being able to adjust the color temperature of the light. The Luxley Cello just takes us to a whole new place because each of the bulbs has the ability to produce red, green, blue, and white. And you're just going, whoa, which means now suddenly there's all these creative possibilities, and they have built the firmware into this light panel so that you can take advantage of that. So what I mean by that, so let's say that you want to use the light in a way that you would use it in a theater where you put gels over the front of it to create, you know, specific colors. The light lets you program it to do that. And I mean, program it like instantly. Super easy to do. Of course, you've got all the color temperatures that you would want. And then they've included a number of special effects and so forth. So essentially what you can do with these LED panels is get any number of different color schemes out of it. I mean, it's just almost infinite. And in fact, you can even match colors. And what they've done to make this easier is that they've created an iPhone app and an Android app so that you can control the light from your smartphone. Now, this is a big deal for me because a lot of times I'm using my LED panels inside of softboxes. And it's a hassle to go over to softbox, open it up, and make changes. So now I can put the LED panel in the softbox, have it positioned with the subject, be standing back in the camera position, and then if I want to change the color a little bit, if I want to increase or decrease the brightness of the light, I just pull my iPhone out of my pocket and make the adjustments via Bluetooth. And it works great. And you can make color adjustments too. It's not just, you know, make it brighter and darker. This is really an interesting light. And if you've been thinking about getting some new lighting, then I would take a look at this review because it is compact. The battery, it uses a standard battery that we use on all our other LED lights, that Sony video cam battery that's so popular with these LED lights. It goes for a long time. It's easy to use, has a really cool LED panel in the back. So you can either program it on the back or you can use your smartphone. You have all these different lighting configurations. It's nice and bright. I mean, this really just checks off all the boxes. And you definitely want to take a look at it. So go over to the review on the Digital Story. Take a look at it and see what you think. Again, if you're in the search of some new lighting, take a look at this Luxicello 10-inch LED light panel. It's really impressive. I want to give a big shout out to our Patreon members, members of our inner circle. Just express my appreciation for everything that you guys are doing for us. We got some new members this month, which is always fun for me. So welcome aboard, those of you that are new members. I'm working on some great content for you guys. One of the things that I'm playing with is putting together a behind-the-scenes movie from the model shoot that we did in Chinatown during our San Francisco workshop. So I have all this great B-roll footage and, you know, me kind of being a director and, you know, we have, you know, lovely Stephanie who was our Asian model and, you know, we have the other people, you know, working to get the shot and we're in these really great places in Chinatown. Chinatown just has some really stupendous backdrops for this type of photography. And we got it all on tape. So what I'm going to do is put all that video together into a short movie. And I'm going to share that movie with our Patreon members for June. So that's going to be the June bonus for our Inner Circle members. That behind the scenes of the shoot that we did in Chinatown on the last day of our San Francisco workshop. Plus, I think it would be fun for you to see, you know, how our workshops are. If you've never been able to attend one of our workshops and you go, well, you know, how are these things anyway? You know, what do you guys do? You know, how, what's the interaction? What's the vibe like? You'll really get a good feel for this. And a big thanks to Mike Baining who photographed and recorded all this stuff for us so that I have this content to work with. I really appreciate it. And I'm just really looking forward to sharing this movie with our Patreon members. A big thanks to all of you for supporting not only this podcast, but the site and all the things that we're doing here at The Digital Story. And then finally, a shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. And by the way, I'm going to be announcing next week the winner of the signed print. That's right. People who have been writing me and saying, hey, I watched this chapter on lynda.com or LinkedIn Learning or that chapter on lynda.com or LinkedIn Learning. They all have been entered into a drawing for the signed print. I'm going to announce the winner of that signed print on next week's podcast. And guess what that print is going to be made on? You got it right. some wonderful Red River paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. They are wonderful sponsors. They are great makers of paper and everything else that goes with it. I mean, one-stop shopping for your inkjet printing needs. They also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. Alrighty, it's time for me to get on a plane and head to Orlando where the weather is not good. So hopefully we'll be able to land and I won't be delayed too much. And off to Photoshop World, I'm going to talk about my experiences at Photoshop World in Orlando in next week's show. So make sure you come back and join me. Lots to do. Send me your link to your portfolio box site. I'm truly excited about that. Have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.